Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's good for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it. California.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Tuesday, November 20th. Let's cock-a-doodle-do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasia, the King, Scott Angles. Scotty, how you feeling today? I guess we should have taken the over, huh?
Yeah, I guess we should have. Maybe multiplied it by another half here. And, maybe it was gonna. Maybe we should have doubled it and taken the over under. And, probably one of the most entertaining games that anybody's ever going to see. That was the good part. I think the bad part was watching. I don't know if you were following this game on Twitter or not, Dane, but I think everybody who was watching the game, took this game as like an opportunity to try to be a comedian. So, this game
oh,
is
really?
Like this.
No,
this
I did not.
This game is like that, and this game is like this, and this game reminds me of that. It's just like, watch the game. We're not
gotcha.
being entertained by the game, not by you.
No, absolutely. I completely agree. And I will say this, a quick note, the game scored so many points, there were 925 passing yards, over 1,000 total yards, 11, kind of touchdowns involved. But I also woke up this morning, as a lot of people did, Scott. I don't know how many of these leagues you play on Yahoo, but check this out. Yahoo literally has a note at the top of their screen. I am not kidding. When you go to check the scores and your points to see if you won, it literally says, Yahoo Fantasy Sports is aware that league scoring may be missing stats for some players, and we are working to correct the issue as soon as possible. Scotty,
really?
Yahoo just couldn't keep up with the stats.
They broke?
I'm looking at
they
it.
They broke?
Yes. The game broke Yahoo. I am not kidding. We go on like the stat tracker or whatnot. For example, okay, I'm in first place in this league. That's my home, Joe. I have on the stat tracker, I have 171 points put up for this week. Another team that I'm checking out because they're in second and a beast is named The People versus O.J. Howard, right? They on stat right. tracker scored 180 points this week. I scored 171. Then I go onto the site and it has this other guy has 168 points. It really couldn't keep up. They have yet to enter all the stats on the back end somehow. This game was so prolific, it broke fantasy websites, Scott.
Wow, that's amazing. I don't think I've been doing this for a long time. 23 years. I can't remember, there's been instances where live scoring has not come in, et cetera.
Right.
I can't say I've never seen it happen, but I haven't seen something along these lines happen like this in a very long time. And you always got to remember that live scoring is not official. So, I'm sure they'll get everything correct. I have seen instances, you know, where I was in the early days at CBS Sportsline, where you had so many users logging on that, you know, it just created technical issues. You know, maybe that was it. Maybe so many people were, like, logging on to live scoring, because I can't recall recently where on a Monday night game where it decided so many results. Very often we'll go into a Monday night game and you'll feel something is decided, and maybe some people won't even check their live scoring.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But the players that were on teams that helped decide these games, I mean, we can go through the stats, but it's going to be like a broken record of me just putting up huge numbers. So, for example, let's start on the winning side. Jared Goff throws 31 of 49, 413 yards, 4 touchdowns, and no interceptions, which was interesting. Todd Gurley, people are saying that he had a quiet night in all this kind of scoring, jambalaya jamboree, shall I say. He gets 55 yards on the ground, another 39 yards through the air. Does not get into the end zone. But listen, all the receivers show up. Cooks gets 107. Reynolds gets 80 in a touch. Woods gets 72 in a touch. Higby gets 63. Gerald Everett with 2 touchdowns. What I do notice, though, and kind of on both sides, it looks like both sides, you know, completely abandoned the running game. Very, very quickly. They knew what kind of game this was going to be. I noticed Kareem Hunt only 14 carries, not his usual load, and Gurley and Brown combined for only 16 carries. It looks like both of these teams abandoned the run game real easy because they saw the prolific offense on the other side of the field.
Yeah, this was interesting. Like, Hunt still got his points from a long catch and run. And it was amazing to me, especially how the Rams abandoned the run like almost right away, and there was a good chunk of the first quarter where Gurley was actually standing on the sidelines and ticking a lot of fantasy players off with Malcolm Brown in there, but so many play action fakes from Jared Goff. It's like almost every pass last night was a play action fake, to the point where by the fourth quarter, the Chiefs weren't buying it anymore. They were just blitzing. Like, okay, well, you know, we're not buying into the fake. You're doing it every single time. It was almost like they could have done it because, you know, maybe that would have slowed the other offense down. But I guess they felt the Kansas City pass defense was just so bad that they just kept attacking. And they played into the narrative. They played into the script when they really didn't have to. You know, if they wanted to, they could have slowed things down with Gurley.
It's true. I will say this. The Chiefs did, in fact, get 5 sacks on Jared Goff today or last night. You know, Mahomes was also sacked 3 times. You know, you make that point about the play action fake. You know, it's interesting because, to be honest, Scott, you know, like the yards are so high. The points were also so high. Interestingly enough, you know, we were joking about the punts last week. There were 7 punts in this game, Scott. So I think it's crazy that there was 105 points scored and there was still enough drives for there to be 7 drives that still ended in a punt and also 7 other drives that ended in turnovers. Scott, there was 105 points scored. And there were still 14 other drives, 7 that ended in punt, 7 that ended with a turnover. I've never seen this happen before, Scott. There were 105 points scored, and that does not count 14 other drives in the game.
Yeah, and the other part of it, too, was, you know, we actually saw 3 defensive touchdowns as well. And we almost saw a 4th, you know, but they got the call wrong there. So, you know, it doesn't really matter anyway. But it was just a passing fest. It was like watching a game of Madden, you know, where McVay and Reed had the controllers, and you know, they were hitting X, Y, B, A, and you know, because you didn't see the running game. You saw all those points, and you only got 11 PPR from Todd Gurley. You know, that was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Patty Mahomes, 36 of 46, 478 yards, 6 touchdowns, but he did turn the ball over 5 times, Scotty. 3 interceptions, 2 lost fumbles. My question for you, I guess, as it relates to Mahomes, as it relates to most of this stuff, I mean, and both of these teams, like, You don't change your perception of Patty Mahomes because of five turnovers in this game, do you? A lot of them were chucking the ball downfield when they needed to in the last like minute and a half. He had two, you know, deep interceptions kind of thing. I know. And the symmetry in this game, you know, both teams missing the extra point. Both teams getting a strip sack, you know, score on the other side. But, like, you don't actually change your perception of any of the players in this game, right? This was just such a kind of a unique masterpiece that was just so fun to watch. But to your point, with Todd Gurley not getting the end zone, it doesn't change your opinion of him. With Patty Mahomes turning the ball over five times, it doesn't change your opinion of him. The Kansas City Chiefs, who lose to go to 9-2 in this game, it does not change your opinion of them. And I don't think it changes your opinion of the Rams yet, really, either. This was like a beautiful kind of non-conference game to watch, but everything is still in front of the Chiefs and the Rams for their team, and we know what this is for fantasy, right? It doesn't change your perception for anybody, does it?
For fantasy, it doesn't. You know, Todd Gurley can always bounce back. From the NFL perspective, though, if you're looking at the Chiefs, you know, and their Super Bowl chances, and as a playoff team, look, Mahomes is having a terrific, terrific year. You know, he's an MVP candidate. But at the same time, you know, he's, you know, coming into this year, he had a reputation as a gunslinger. And, you know, those last two picks, you know, were risky throws, especially the second one. He basically threw into double coverage. So when you're looking at the Chiefs and their Super Bowl chances, when you have a quarterback who turns the ball over five times against one of the best teams in the NFL, you're saying that, you know, maybe this is a guy with a game on the line where it's going to be risky and it could go either way. You know, I think a lot of people are assuming, you know, okay, the Chiefs, you know, they're the best team in the AFC. They're definitely going to go to the Super Bowl. They're my pick. You know, I don't think you see Ben Roethlisberger makes turnovers, but I'd rather have the ball in his hands than Mahomes, who has no playoff experience and has turned the ball over five times in a game. So basically what I'm saying is that, you know, it makes me have a little bit of cause for pause when I'm thinking about the Chiefs as winning the AFC.
That's interesting. I mean, because something you said in there was like, it can go either way, right? Didn't we already know that with a gunslinger, isn't that kind of part and parcel of what that means? You know, being the kind of gunslinger with all the comparisons have been to guys like Brett Favre and stuff like that. Isn't that part of the package with the quote-unquote gunslinger label or mentality? Isn't that exactly what the gunslinger means? That, like, sometimes those kind of throws are going to get picked off. Isn't that part of the package deal?
It's supposed to be when you're describing the guy that way, but he really didn't look like it until last night. Those were the first two defensive touchdowns scored against him all season. So, you know, and then you look at him.
So you're saying in the first 9 weeks of the season, he wasn't necessarily a gunslinger?
You were seeing a lot of games where he just wasn't turning the ball over. It's like he didn't really suit that gunslinger sort of description, ideally, until last night, I think. You know, you look at the fact he's only got 10 interceptions, you know, and what did he have, three last night? He only had seven interceptions until last night. He's got 17 turnovers, right? He had five of them last night. He only had a dozen turnovers coming into last night. So it wasn't really until last night, you know, in a marquee matchup against one of the best teams in the NFL, that he finally gave you cause for pause. And I think we gotta remember two things. You know, they've lost two games. You know, they've been to the Rams and the Patriots. Those are very good teams, and I think you have to remember that. I think I'm not saying that they can't win the NFC. It just gives me cause for pause. You know, when trying to definitely pick my AFC number one team, you know, they've lost to Tom Brady, you know, and they've lost to the arguably the best team in the NFC. And I say arguably because, you know, you can make a debate on either way, you know, exactly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I guess here's my question for you, Scott. And I hear what you're saying. And listen, he did turn the ball over five times, you know, I mean, but if I told you going into a game, if I told you going into the game that your quarterback would turn the ball over five times, but he'd also throw for six touchdowns, and that your team would put up 51 points, would you sign for that going into the game?
Yes, I certainly would. Right. But you know, I would think with five turnovers that at the end I might be on the losing end. But with six.
But if I told you there was 51 points involved, you'd take that, right? I mean, like, so
yeah,
it's almost.
But then again,
like,
if I'm coaching the Chiefs, I'm like, well, how many did I give up?
I guess I know, but like the thing is, it's almost like, because honestly, Scott, like, here's my thing. If you played this exact game 10 times, you know, and there's so many variables, right? Like, would Tariq Hill get, you know, be able to burn you for the 80-yard touchdown? Would all those sack fumbles happen? If we played this kind of crazy gunslinging, to your point, game back and forth, like, it was very, very close, you know, within a minute or two left. So I would, if I were like Chiefs fans or Chiefs coaches even, it's almost like back in the old days playing on the playground, you know, if you lost at a basketball game and it was real close, you'd be like, let's run it back, let's do it again, you know. And I really think everyone on the Chiefs side would pretty much be comfortable running it back and trying it again. Like, this was a 50-50 coin flip kind of game throughout the entire game.
Yeah, it certainly was. You know, it was just a thrill to watch. And yeah, I'm still having fun this morning, you know, during the breaks and before we on the air, you know, going through my leagues. You know, make sure you check your league standing this morning, because if you've won 9 games, you know, there's a very good chance that you've clinched a playoff spot in your league.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm staring at some little stars next to my names in some leagues as well, which I thoroughly
appreciate. What sites
do they
have the stars on? Because it feels like you have to manually figure it out on a lot of sites.
Oh, really? No, I'm staring at that same Yahoo league that is telling me that the stats are still coming.
Yeah, Yahoo does that.
Next to my team, that's my homes, yo. There's a 10-1 next to it, and there's a little star next to my name. And not only have I clinched the playoff spot, but I've clinched a bye in that league. Scotty, you're doing well in the Greenwich Street Tavern League, as we know. If you look at kind of the power rankings, three of the top five people in that league in terms of the power rankings are, in fact, your morning hosts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Mike Blewett and the King Scott Engel, numbers 1 and 2 in the power rankings, and Speeds the Spitting Statistician toiling, but in playoff position in the number 5 spot when it comes to the playoffs. Unfortunately, though, another one of our hosts is down in the 10th spot in this league, but we'll talk about that another time. I'm sure the King, Scott Engel, will get into that one. What's up?
I have one team in my dynasty league that's 0-11 right now. So with 2 weeks to go, it's realistic that he could end up winless. Have you ever played in the league where somebody was winless?
Yes, I am in a league right now where someone is 0-11, and because it is a long-term dynasty league, that player has already traded away Ezekiel Elliott to a contender for draft picks for next year. That player has already traded away their starting quarterback for players and draft picks for last year. So I think this team is completely okay going 0-13 if it winds up getting them draft picks for next year. Thus the beauty of a kind of, you know, a dynasty league. You're kind of on the cycle and can be buyers and sellers. So we really definitely, we put week 11 to bed. There has been a lot of stuff going on. And don't forget to go on over and get the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge in-season fantasy package. There's a special discount going over there. And to put the promo code THEKING for the last couple of weeks so you can get that final playoff push. When we come back, we've shut the door on week 11. We look at health updates, waivers, and news as we go to Thanksgiving week 12. It's Dane and Scott on Roto Experts in the Morning. Come on right back.
The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only place to go for 24/7 fantasy sports advice. Once you download the FNTSY Sports Radio app, you'll get the most accurate experts and most entertaining programming in the fantasy sports world. Listen to great shows like Fantasy Football Frenzy.
There you go right there, Goon Squad.
Game Time Decisions.
Good teams win, great teams cover.
Fantasy Freestyle.
You know what it is.
And plenty more.
Boom!
Download the FNTSY Sports Radio app on your iPhone and Android devices now and take the best fantasy sports talk wherever life leads you.
That's what you're doing, staying alive. And look here. Dana Scott, Roto Experts in the Morning, giving you what you need to win your leagues and win that cash on a Tuesday morning as we all pick our heads up from a 54-51 incredible game where 105 points were scored. Scotty, you said on Twitter, people are saying it reminds me of. I don't know if you remember this game, but I think I've maybe have told this story before even on air. The very first football game I ever went to live turned out to be a historic game where, like this one, there were 900 yards of total passing. It was Dan Marino and Kenny O'Brien in the Meadowlands one year in 1985 or 86, and the Jets beat the Dolphins 51-45. Wesley Walker caught a touchdown to tie it at the end and a big-time touchdown in overtime to win it. The first football game I ever went to live and the first time I ever sipped alcohol, my grandfather gave me some of his flask to warm up a six-year-old Dane Martinez in the upper deck of the old Meadowlands as we saw 900 yards and we saw 900 yards passing last night. We saw 7 punts, 11 TDs, 7 turnovers, and 105 points in what many people believe, like we would be honored to see it again in the first week of February, Scotty.
Yeah, I do remember that game. You know, that's not too far after, right? I started watching football seriously like about a year and a half after. So I definitely remember that one.
Yeah, all right. You said everybody was on Twitter trying to compare it to stuff. That would be the only thing I can compare.
Everybody was on Twitter trying to be a comedian of some sort. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It was like it was not only a high scoring game, but it was just like everybody was trying to be as witty as possible and compete with each other.
Ah, yes, but they should leave the wittiness to the professionals, and that's where we are, Scott. We over here, you know, we're supposed to be witty. You can't find this chemistry anywhere on Twitter. That is the point, Scotty. But let's move forward now. We put week 11 to bed. Let's go to week 12. Let's talk about some news and notes. Listen, my guy, Kerryon Johnson, they're saying he is week to week with a sprained knee. I think it's fairly obvious that with the short turnaround for the Lions, playing the early game on Thursday. I mean, Scotty, they're playing in only about 48 hours. They're going to be, you know, entering the stadium for their Thanksgiving game. I think they may have even already ruled him out for this Thursday. But the fact that it was kind of avoiding surgery, the term week to week, they're not even saying 4-6 or 2-4 this week to week, makes me feel like he's going to sit out on Thursday, but you got a viable shot for him to be right back in week 13. So keep calm and carry on.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think you keep calm about it. It's a very important week. And to be without Kerryon Johnson, you know, you're going to take a hit. What if your starting backfield is, as in one of my leagues is, Kareem Hunt and Kerryon Johnson? You know, you're going to have to be starting, you know, something like Jalen Richard and Theo Riddick. So this is a very important week. You know, it's the point is that all these teams, like these two teams last night, they scored all these points last night, and now they get to rest. because they're running up and down the field so much. I think it works out. But you're really going to have to earn your victory. If you want to clinch a playoff berth, if you got 8 wins, like I do in like several leagues, you know, in 3 of them, though, it's going to be without Mahomes, and 2 of them are going to have to be without Goff. You know, Dane, you talk about how you plan ahead for defenses. You know, I had to plan ahead for quarterbacks. You know, I picked up Lamar Jackson in 2 leagues. I have Andrew Luck in another. I couldn't trade him. I kept him. Fine, I'll start him in week 12 if nobody wants him. But this does hurt because right now you could have made a good case that he was a back-end RB1 the way he was starting to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Trust me. You know I've been high on him all season long. I guess it's interesting, Scott. You know, like everyone's context makes their kind of urgency on some of these needs different, right? The place I have Kerryon Johnson, for example, is this team that I mentioned to you is 10-1 and already has a star. I'm not really needing my team again until the bye, until week 15. You know, so the fact that my kind of main running backs on that league are James Conner, Sony Michel, and Kerryon Johnson. Johnson. So the fact that he goes down, I'm like, oh, I just put Sonny Michel in there. And then I feel like as long as Kerryon Johnson is back healthy for me week 15, I'm good to go. You know, like I don't need my players again until week 15. So I just hope their knees and brains are healthy at that point. But question for you, Scotty, do you play in the LeGarrette Blount pond for waiver wires this week? I got to assume because we've been talking about Theo Riddick that he got snapped up last week. If that's the case, do you go down to LGBT rights?
I probably have somebody on my bench if I have good depth that LGBT rights and have my on my bench I probably would trust more than that. But then again, is Blount that bad of a choice? Because his team wants to be physical and they still want to run the ball.
They want to run the ball.
And, you know, it's not like LeGarrette Blount is like 38 years old and still can't run the ball. So I think hopefully I have better depth, but, you know, it's kind of hard right now.
Yeah.
Do you start LeGarrette Blount or do you just start Josh Adams? Do you start LeGarrette Blount or do you start Peyton Barber? You know, I think I might start Blount over both of those guys.
Interesting. Let me throw another name.
If I know he's going to get a heavy workload, yeah.
Yep. Let me throw another name into this mix because we don't know what kind of workload this guy is going to get. But John Harbaugh says that, you know, Gus Edwards, quote unquote, took the bull by the horns. What the hell does that mean, Scott? Like, I have no idea about if Gus Edwards is going to be in this mix, if they're going to go back to Alex Collins. And the other thing, honestly, for me, Scott, is – who's playing quarterback for Baltimore heavily impacts this decision. If they keep Lamar under quarterback, then I'm like, wait a second. This team is going to run the ball 45 times. So, yeah, give me some Gus Edwards. If they go back to Flacco, I don't know if, you know, if these running backs are as sexy anymore. What do you think about John Harbaugh saying that, you know, Gus really took the bull by the horns?
That coaches love cliches, number one. And number two, if they run the ball 45 times, you get 22 of those could be from Lamar Jackson. So that leaves 23 to distribute maybe against three running backs. The problem is here is that you never know with this backfield, you know, what exactly is going to happen. Gus Edwards could start, but you know they still might install Alex Collins near the goal line. Sure. Maybe Ty Montgomery gets more reps, you know, they use Buck Allen on passing down. So this always has the danger to be a committee. Whereas with a team like the Lions, you know that they want to be physical. You know that they want to run the ball. And if Kerryon Johnson isn't there, they can still do that with LeGarrette Blount. So, you know, this deep into the season, look, Gus Edwards would be a hot pickup because any running back who has the potential to start has to be. He's owned 0.0% of leagues. But I would trust LeGarrette Blount to have a heavier workload.
Yeah, I hear you. We'll kind of rank those guys a little bit later on in the show where we go position by position for the waivers. Other pieces of news, Josh Allen back practicing for the Buffalo Bills. You think they're going to run him back out there for a team that, you know, obviously has nothing to play for? A lot of these teams are at the point of the season where they're trying to find out about their young players. Josh Allen back practicing for Buffalo. You think he's back under center for the Bills this week?
I don't think I can make a guess either way. I really can't. Because
it's more of a Dr. A question.
I don't know how healed he is to the point where they feel comfortable about it. They don't have to roll him out this week. They'll have another 4 weeks to evaluate him. They don't have to risk it.
All right. Last thing I want to ask you about, Scotty, before we dive into kind of the more formal waiver wire looks, and we're definitely going to do that, you know, kind of in the second half of our hour here. Scott, you know, we've been throwing around the term MVP candidate, you know, over the last week or two, I would say. And, you know, you've mentioned that you believe Gurley and the running backs, you know, could be considered in that one. I personally think it's become more of a quarterback award. I think we all agree that, you know, Mahomes
it always has
is in the
been
conversation.
A quarterback award.
Yeah, I mean, you know, always, I think we all agree that Mahomes is in the conversation. I think we all agree that Breeze is a leading contender. I know that we can make the case, obviously, for some Rams. You could probably make the case for Tom Brady every single year, the same way you could make the case for LeBron James almost every single year. I have been trying to get Phillip Rivers into the conversation, although I acknowledge that he is a tier below right now, although I do think he's having a great season. He kind of reverted back to old form on Sunday. Sunday. I want to throw in another name, Scotty, that I think has starting to get buzz. You know, when you see all the reactions on Monday, it's amazing how people start to say on Monday what we were saying the previous week. You know, we're saying things proactively. Other people are saying things retroactively. That's why you need to go to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network to win your leagues and win that cash. But I digress. Scotty, do you know the name I'm going to try and maybe insert into the MVP conversation?
No, but I'm about to find out. I thought it might be Isaiah Crowell, but I'll wait.
It is not. It is not Isaiah Crowell. It is not Orleans Darkwa. Andrew Luck, Scott. Andrew Luck. I think it's now, you know, fait accompli that he'll win the comeback player of the year award, right? I think that's pretty fair at this point. But what we have been talking about, Scott, I mean, I think it warrants MVP consideration. The man has thrown 3 or 4 touchdowns now, 7 games in a row. He has this Colts team in a 6th playoff spot. We all believe this is a team that's starting to get better and better. I mean, they can kind of reel some off here. If Andrew Luck gets this team into the playoffs at 9-7 or 10-6, which we went through last week or yesterday, and we believe is, you know, definitely possible, they're going to be contending against teams like the Ravens, the Bengals, the Titans, and I'll cast my luck with the improving Colts just as much as anybody right now. Maybe it's in a tier right below, like with a Rivers, let's say, but do you think Luck should start getting MVP attention?
I see where you're coming from, because basically on this, if you go into the word most valuable player, if you take Andrew right. Luck away from this team, they probably win one game. But the problem is he's not going to be in the conversation. And it's simple why. And right at this time, the Colts are a 500 ball club. They're 5-5. Right. Teams with 500 records are not going. Their star players are not going to get MVP conversation right now.
What if they win that division?
It's not going to happen.
They're 2 games back of the Texans in that division. I don't know. I'll check the schedule to see if they've played each other already or not. But, like, what if the Colts win that division? Which is still possible. They're only 2 games back.
If they win it at, say, 10-6, I don't think you're going to make a strong case. I think, I see where you're coming from. I don't necessarily say you're wrong, but I don't think there's going to be any momentum for building a case for him if they finish 10-6. Usually the MVPs come from the very best teams in the league. And yeah. I'm not saying you don't make salient points, because you do. You do. But, you know, a team's right. got, you know, it's got to be like, I would say, like, at least 11 wins. You know, for him to get any serious consideration.
And I don't think they're
going to have to run the table to get that, so I don't think it's going to happen. Now, I would probably say, just really running through it quick, it's interesting.
My vote would go to Drew
Brees. On the outside right now. I don't. Deshaun Watson, I don't know if you can make a case. You know, it's like, is J.J. Watt the most valuable player?
Yeah, I don't think
team?
He is that dude.
Yeah.
You have to be, like you said, a winning team.
You have Mahomes.
And, like, have one of those studs, right? So, on the AFC, you got Mahomes.
You got Mahomes. You got – right now, to me, it's hard to argue against Brees. And let me run this down real quickly.
Go ahead.
You know, Brady, you know, gets consideration because of who he is, but the team is 7-3.
Second tier this year.
Roethlisberger, I don't know if he's the most valuable player on the Steelers. I can make
right.
a case
I agree.
That Antonio Brown should be their MVP candidate. With the Texans, it might be J.J. Watt. With Mahomes, I think he's still in the race, but I think he's a little bit on the outside looking into the top spot. To me, Rivers zapped himself out with a game-stealing interception. MVPs don't do that. So right now, he's out of the mix for me, but I'm not saying he could finish really strong and maybe erase that. With Chicago, Trubisky, maybe get a few votes. With Brees, I think it's very clear. With the Rams, I think it was proved, at least to me last night, from my own perspective, and everybody does this from their own perspective, is Gurley really the MVP? Because they
can't
didn't
be Gurley,
right? Him to beat the Chiefs. So to me, right now, it's clearly Drew Brees.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't want to get into it too much because we got waivers to discuss. But honestly, if you put Kareem Hunt on the Rams instead of Todd Gurley, those Rams are still very, very prolific. They're still the same kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
But if you take Drew Brees off the Saints, it's a very big difference. To me, Drew Brees and his, I think, 25 touchdowns and one interception, I think, is what his split is right now. It's going to be very tough, especially if the Saints, you know, go something like 14-2 and are the one seed in the NFC. I completely agree with you. Scotty, you were talking about in leagues.
Real quick, though, this is why Giant fans didn't want them to draft Saquon Barkley, because ultimately, running backs seem more replaceable than quarterbacks.
Yes, and at the same point in time, remember, the key is also having that young quarterback that you can have on that rookie contract, and that then allows you to spend money in a lot of other places on your team. I mean, Scott, you know that obviously with Russell Wilson and how the window is open for them to spend money on the defense and others when he was still on his rookie contract. We've seen the same thing with Carson Wentz and a number of others. You know, the Rams going all in right now when Jared Goff is on that rookie deal. So we have seen a number of examples of that. Real quick, Scotty, we talk about the quarterbacks, right? And you were mentioning, oh, you may have, listen, it's very possible that in a two quarterback league right now, you are going to war with Jared Goff and Marcus Mariota. If that's the case, you're screwed right now for this week. You could be having Patty Mahomes and Alex Smith in a two-quarterback league. If that's the case, you're screwed. You could have Jared Goff or Ryan Fitzpatrick very easily as your two quarterbacks. If so, you're screwed. So, Scotty, you're then lucky, though, because three new starting quarterbacks came on the radar literally last week. Lamar Jackson, Jameis Winston, and Colt McCoy. If you absolutely had to be on the waiver wire for a quarterback in Week 12, let's say you had Goff and Mariota. How would you rank those three? Is it Lamar, then Jameis, then Colt McCoy?
I have to rank Jameis first because I think he's going to have the job the rest of the way. But in any given week, I'd rather have Jackson if I know he's starting, because we saw his floor last week. You know, with those rushing yards, he's always going to have like a really like 15 to 16 point floor. And if he gets them in the end zone, it's even more than that, more upside. And I just think Winston is too erratic where it could be a zero-touchdown, four-interception game in any given week. But I have to give the edge to Winston because I think that he's clearly starting the rest of the way. Not clearly, but I would think he is, where Jackson, I don't even know if he's starting this week. And obviously,
you think they might go to Jackson and then go back to Flacco, Scott?
No, I'm saying if Flacco,
you think it might be just a health thing?
Start, right. Yeah, they might go back to Flacco. And then,
interesting. You know,
Jackson plays
Let's
like a rookie.
Let's explore that. Let's explore that a little more on the other side of the break, and we'll talk running back and wide receiver waivers for Week 12 as well. It's Dane and Scott on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Come on right back. Roto Experts in the morning.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Shows Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week, and then Scott and I are off to spend some time with our families over Thanksgiving. So, but we want to give you a Thanksgiving offer. Okay, if you want to be the next DFS millionaire, try DailyRoto.com for free this Thanksgiving. That's right, free advice for fantasy millionaires, free daily fantasy projections, free access, everything you need to dominate NFL DFS this Thanksgiving. Don't be a turkey, gobble, gobble, jive turkey. Head on over to DailyRoto.com, enter the promo code TG18 to enter your free five-day trial. That's DailyRoto.com, promo code TG18. All right, Scotty, you were saying, so I guess my question is this, you know, I guess the Ravens are still in it at 5-5, but we've talked about this with, say, with like Tampa Bay and stuff, how they were in, you know, riding the magic wave until they were out of it. And now you're saying maybe the Ravens go back, the 5-5 Ravens, who are tied for the second wild card spot right now, go back to Joe Flacco. Do you think this could be a case where he loses his job from injury? You think Flacco could have gotten Wally pipped? Or you think they go back to Flacco? I mean, at its barest essential, Scotty, Joe Flacco is 4-5 on the season. Lamar Jackson is 1-0 on the season.
Yeah, but he played one game, so you know, sure. You lose the next two, and he could be 1-2. So you want to know? I don't think that's meaningless. I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen here, because how healed is Joe Flacco going to be? And do they think Joe Flacco gives them a better chance to win than Lamar Jackson? You can make a case that they feel better with the more experienced quarterback in the critical situation. So I think we'd all want to see Lamar Jackson for fantasy purposes and NFL fans, but I don't know if they're going to do it.
All right, fair enough. And let me ask you something. Why no love for Colt McCoy? We just started talking yesterday about how Colt McCoy, like, is kind of a serviceable guy. He's one of the best backups in the league, that sort of thing. We're saying Jameis can throw four picks at any time. We're saying we don't know if Lamar Jackson's going to be there. Might Colt McCoy be actually, like, the safest floor of this group?
No. Lamar Jackson has the safest floor in this group. The guy can rush for, a, you know, 80 to 100 yards and give you, like, an instant 8 to 12 points,
right,
you know, without even the passing in any given week. So, you know, he doesn't have the safest floor. He's the most – he really doesn't appear to have any upside at all. You know, there's no love for him because, you know, I don't call myself an executive. You know, it's – you know, to me, Colt McCoy is – you know, there's nothing exciting there. I mean, it doesn't look terrible either, but he doesn't look like he's going to help your fantasy team too much. I'm not saying he can't have like a 2-touchdown, 280-yard, no interception game, and that's pretty good, but he certainly doesn't have the upside of the number two because Jameis Winston's got all that weaponry. You know, this guy is a backup journeyman NFL quarterback, maybe one of the better ones, with no weaponry. So, you know, he's not a consideration with the other two.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You know, whoever it is in Washington is throwing it to Josh Dotson and Maurice Harris, for goodness sake. So I understand that one. But listen, you got lucky because you do at least have some options that, you know, surfaced as starting quarterbacks because of what happened in Week 11. Let's look at this running back situation, Scotty, as we talk about waivers here. Let's say you're SOL because you have Kareem Hunt and, you know, Kerryon Johnson, let's say, who it looks like will be missing the Thanksgiving game in a mere 2 days. I see some guys. I just want to throw some guys out at you and see kind of how you would rank these guys. Listen, my guy Peyton Barber, Scott, is now still 60% owned, so you could still probably go out and get him. Josh Adams, who you mentioned, is 32% owned. Theo Riddick, especially if there's no Kerryon Johnson, might be interesting. We talked about LeGarrette Blount. And then there's the Gus Edwards name as well. So talk to me about, say, Barber, Adams, although we know how you rank those two already. We already have a gentleman's bet on Barber and Adams. But how do, you know, Gus Edwards and potentially Theo Riddick or LeGarrette Blount fit into the mix? How would you rank some of these heavily added running backs, Scotty?
It's tough. I'd probably go. The thing with Barber is that you know he's going to get to work, but he really doesn't appear to have much upside. Adams has upside, but you don't know what the carrying load is going
right.
to be, so they're almost even with each other. You know, if I had to pick one off of waivers, I'd take Adams slightly for the upside. If you want to argue for Barber's side, I'm not mad at you. You know, it's not crazy. Edwards has some potential upside there, so if these three guys are on waivers, I think I would probably go Adams. Then I would probably go Barber. Then I would probably go Gus Edwards. To me, LeGarrette Blount is a 1 week play, so he's probably fourth. There's no floor for Theo Riddick, so he's probably fifth.
Okay. Any other guys that you see that are heavily added that you would put in this mix? I mean, I don't really see people. There's always the people coming back from buys, but you knew about these guys. You knew about Breida already. You knew about, you know, Drake already. I guess the one guy coming off bye who is not as heavily owned is, but you, it'd be worth a shot. I'm seeing Duke Johnson at 70% owned, coming back from the Cleveland Browns. Worth a look, you know, but he is 70% owned.
Yeah, if he's out there, you have to scoop him up.
Right, but, you know, he is 70%.
It'd be crazy if he's out there, but you certainly have to scoop him up.
Listen, six teams on bye last week.
Yeah, it's six teams on a bye.
Maybe they had to get cut, you know.
Sometimes it's desperate measures.
Right. So, I mean, at least it is worth the look in your league, because almost a third of leagues, you can still go out and get Duke Johnson. And correct me if I'm wrong, Scotty, but Duke Johnson would be ahead of all of these names, right?
I would think so, yeah. You know, yeah. The way they've been installing him in the offense.
Mm-hmm. And the one other thing I'll say real quick before we move on to wide receivers, Scott, is, listen, when I was looking at the most heavily added guys yesterday, you know, I saw something that was interesting. Yesterday, two of the most heavily added guys were Spencer Ware and Malcolm Brown, you know, the handcuffs to the two guys on Monday Night Football. And if they're available, you know, and you can always do this in a lot of league formats on Monday Night Football, the teams who still have yet to play, those people on those teams are still listed as free agents, not necessarily waivers. So if you have the last guy on your bench and you didn't start him, I know at least in Yahoo and some other formats, you can always drop the last guy on your bench for a purely speculative ad from the teams playing Monday Night Football. I have done this before in years past and just take like a bench running back from the teams on Monday Night Football just in case, you know, your guy gets banged up. I did this a couple years ago, I think, with the Devontae Booker from Denver. And sure enough, I like C.J. Anderson tore his knee on that Monday Night Football game, and I was gifted a starting running back. So, but we've also been talking, Scott, about how as you go through the playoffs, you need those handcuffs. So there's no reason guys like Ware and Brown, Eckler, Gallman, Rod Smith should be available right now.
Yeah, you know, you want to have those handcuffs over guys that you know you're not going to start. You know, we've been talking about it for weeks now.
Yeah, what do you think about what I'm saying here on Monday night? If you have a kind of last guy on the bench, revolving door, to take a completely speculative ad on a on the teams playing Monday night. Some guy in my long-term dynasty league did this last night. I was a little bit upset. Picked up Chad Henne. Just on the kind of case, just in case Patty Mahomes went down. You know, he's obviously going to, you know, drop them for something next week, but churning that kind of bottom spot in your order on a completely speculative Monday Night Football ad. What do you think about that, Scotty?
I don't know if I'm a big fan of it necessarily. I can see where it comes from, though, but you could. I like the fact, like, okay, if Mahomes goes down, you know, then I have Henny, but, you know, I can do that. I can churn for Sunday night as well there. You know, I don't know if I'm necessarily like, I'm not against it, but it's not something that I'm regularly going to do.
Okay. I saw people doing it for Spencer Ware. I saw people doing it for Brown a lot yesterday. So I just wanted to put that out there. Scotty, on the wide receiver side, listen, I would say here's some names that I see that are, you know, 40% owned or less. Traquan Smith at 25% owned. DJ Moore at 40% owned. Kiki Cutie at 30% owned. Christian Kirk and Anthony Miller at around 40% owned. These are all guys that I would be absolutely fine to have. Are you picking some of these guys up?
Yeah.
Let's go one at a time. Let me use Traquan Smith as the bar, right? Yeah, because people want a piece of that Saints offense. Would you rather have Traquan Smith or DJ Moore?
I would probably rather go with DJ Moore because okay. I feel like DJ Moore has more of the opportunity, no pun intended, to step forward and be that team's number one pass catcher. But they're both, like we say with these rookie wide receivers, they're both going to be inconsistent. I think it's close because Smith does play into better offense, but I feel like there's more opportunity for Moore.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, I personally...
Yeah, and a lot of times that becomes a debate. A lot of times that becomes a debate with these guys, with trades and waivers. Mm-hmm. Like, I want the guy in the better offense, and I don't always think that's necessarily the case. I was talking about it with somebody yesterday. Do you want Nick Chubb or Mark Ingram? Mark Ingram plays in a better offense, but he's ceding a lot to Alvin Kamara. Nick Chubb, you know, gets like most of the carries there. So it's not always about who's embedding the better offense to me. Necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I do use that as one of the kind of tiebreakers, as it were, but not if these people are in completely different tiers, you know. But I would like to get as much of the Saints, the Rams, the Chiefs, some of these very prolific offenses as possible.
But it becomes offense first workload, though, and every situation is different, I think.
What about Kiki Cutie? How would he be? So it sounds like you have DJ Moore ranked slightly ahead of Traquan Smith. Where would Kiki Cutie fit in that ranking?
To be honest with you, he'd probably be first.
Okay.
You know, this is a guy when he's played, we've seen a consistent floor from him, and we just don't see it with those other players.
Okay, so it sounds like you're going QT, then Moore, then Traquan Smith. I got two other names I want to introduce as we form your wide receiver kind of waiver wire priorities. Christian Kirk. What about Christian Kirk? Not as in the mix. It looks like under Byron Leftwich, they're using more David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald. But we know the kid is dangerous, as evidenced by a 45-yard catch on Sunday. Where did Christian Kirk fit in this pecking order?
Probably a close fourth.
Okay.
You know, we've seen him
just
do it.
Just below Traquan Smith?
But just below it, I don't think he quite has the upside. I'm not saying he doesn't have any upside. I'm saying he doesn't have quite the upside of Traquan Smith and DJ Moore.
Last name I'll throw into this is for a team I know you like, a name that I know you've been high on late earlier in the season, Anthony Miller, another rookie wideout. So the same kind of questions on consistency as all these guys. These are all rookies, right? Traquan, DJ Moore, Christian Kirk, Kiki Cutie. So the consistency we know is an issue, but where would Anthony Miller fit in this pecking order? It sounds like right now you go Cutie, Moore, Traquan Smith, and then Christian Kirk. Where does Miller fit in?
I'm going to go Miller first. I think there's a combination of scoring ability and big play upside there in a very good offense. I feel like he's going to be more consistent. Yeah, we'll see two catches for 26 yards sometimes, but that may come with a touchdown. I feel like Miller is the best combination of upside, and while QT has the best floor, I don't think he has the upside. I think of all the rookies, he has probably has a, not any of them have a 100% safe floor, but I just feel like he's clearly defined as like a starting wide receiver for the Bears offense right now and a prime target.
Interesting, because I was going to actually take the other side and say there's a lot of mouths to feed. I was going to say there's a lot of mouths to feed in Chicago. There's Allen Robinson, there's Taylor Gabriel, there's Trey Burton, you know, there's the running backs, Cohen and Howard. I was going to say it's much more of a cloudy picture in Chicago. But Scotty is going Anthony Miller.
I don't know if I agree with that. You know, Burton hasn't been putting up the numbers, and Gabriel has been very, very inconsistent and disappointing since those two 100-yard games.
All right, so there are five rookie wideouts there that if they are available, the king is okay. But let me ask you, Scott, you're okay with picking any of these guys up, right? At this point, I think Christian Kirk was the last on this five-person pecking order, but you would still much rather Kirk than, say, an Oakland Raiders wide receiver that's replacing LaFell or Jordy Nelson, right? You would much rather these five rookies than, say, like a Seth Roberts, correct?
Yeah, Seth Roberts not even on my fantasy radar.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to make sure. So we gave you five kind of wideouts that you could pluck from the waiver wire. We gave you guys like Peyton Barber, Josh Adams, you know, Gus Edwards as well. You're lucky to have some quarterbacks right there on the radar if you need them in week 12. Scotty, last thing I want to do is tight end. I mean, there's a gap. There's some guys like DeJonnu Smith, your guy Chris Herndon at around 10% ownership. But one guy I want to throw out there, tell me if you think he would be head and shoulders above the rest. And it is conditional. But I think I'm trying to make America great again, Scott. I mean, they're changing. They are going back to Jameis Winston for week 12. We know he likes Cameron Brate a lot in the red zone. And O.J. Howard's getting a second opinion on his knee. He might be banged up. And I know we don't know this, but if it is Jameis Winston with no O.J. Howard, I think you got to put Cameron Brate in lineups, right?
Yes, you do. And we should – look, a lot of waivers will run tonight. We should know something maybe by today. They're getting a second opinion.
On O.J. Howard,
But the first opinion was not overly negative.
True. But even if he's, like, you know, banged up but gives it a go, I think that's still a boom for Cameron Brate, right? Because, I mean, if O.J. Howard is limited in any way, the beauty of having two tight ends is that you go to the other one, you know? And so I really do think Brate can get involved. A nice little matchup against San Francisco this week.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
So am I right that you would put a claim in for Cameron Brate over, say, Jonnu Smith or Chris Herndon?
I really like Chris Herndon.
I know you love Herndon.
I'm probably gonna have to answer that later today on social media.
When you know about O.J. Howard, right?
If O.J. Howard's gonna play, I'd rather have Herndon if he's not going to, then I would know. It doesn't look like he's going to play. Then I'd rather have Brady. I really like Chris Herndon for fantasy purposes. I really feel like he's the Jets' number one pass catcher.
Yeah, I mean, that may be clear. We'll see what happens if and when Sam Darnold is back in the saddle. I just believe that if there is no O.J. Howard, you have a potential top 10 tight end on your hands that popped up on the radar. We've seen Jameis Winston
go to
Cameron Brayton in the red zone a ton. Last thing, Scotty, you know, and, you know, we're talking football. We're in the meat of the football season. But as you know, I'm a big Yankee fan, Scotty, and the Yankees made some noise yesterday. I've been saying all – you've heard me, Scott, for about the better part of 6 months. I've been saying what the Yankees need is a starter that they can put behind Severino and ahead of Tanaka to pitch a game two. Scotty, does the big maple, James Paxton, if healthy, does he qualify as that exact need?
Yeah, I think and he becomes so interesting for fantasy purposes because we've seen what he can do when he's healthy. And, you know, playing Yankee Stadium, he might give up some home runs. But still, you know, to have that kind of offensive support, et cetera. And I think he has the mentality to succeed in New York. Not everybody does necessarily. I think it becomes very, very enticing for fantasy purposes. Not safe, but a lot of upside there.
Yeah, the velocity at the top of that rotation with, you know, the big maple and Sevy is nice. And Yankees still got some money to spend, so I'll take it. We'll talk more tomorrow, Scott.